For 7 straight nights, gangs of young people torched cars and buildings and fought with police in the northern suburbs of Paris. The riots were sparked by a pair of accidental deaths last week. 2 young men who believed that they were being chased by police, apparently erroneously, ran into an electrical power station and died from electrocution. But as the violence spread, it's become clear that it is more about the deep anger and despair that pervades the mainly North African immigrant communities living in dilapidated suburban housing projects. Peter Ford, chief European correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, witnessed the riots last night. He's now with us from his office in Paris. Nice to speak with you again, Peter.
Nice to be here, Neil.
And first of all, an update, is the situation improving tonight?
Well, it's still early, about 9:45 here in Paris. The troubles have generally begun later on at night, closer to midnight and then on into the early hours. So it's hard to tell, but there are 1,300 policemen across the northern suburbs of Paris braced for more trouble.
And as I've read about these confrontations, not necessarily mass crowds getting involved with police, but more hit-and-run kind of deals?
Exactly. This is not Watts or the riots in Los Angeles after the Rodney King beating. It tends to be a group of 10, 15, 20 young men. They will torch a car, a bus, a garbage can, for example, wait for the fire brigade to arrive, always accompanied by the police, and then stone both the firefighters and the policemen as they try to do their work. They will also perhaps throw Molotov cocktails, and on 2 occasions, live rounds have been fired, 4 live rounds in total, but that's already a worrying sign.
Has anyone been hurt?
People have been hurt, and nobody has been killed. There have been dozens of people who have been hurt one way or another from broken glass or burns. One firefighter was very badly burned last night trying to put out a fire at an automobile concession.
One apparent similarity with some of those other riots you were talking about is much of this damage is being done in the very same communities where people are angry about poor conditions.
Exactly. I mean, the most ironic thing last night at Aulnay-sous-Bois, where I was that they were burning down a primary school where their little brothers and sisters go. It's hard to understand how they justify that, other than a simple anger directed at any sort of agent of authority, any sort of symbol of the state, whether that be a police station, a school, or a doctor trying to treat the injured. There is a very deep, deep mistrust of the state and all its agents in these projects, which are basically ghettos, although the French don't like to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the police that bear the brunt of it, but it's they that bear the kids who bear the brunt of the police, as they would put it.
Over the past 30 years, these, we call them the suburbs of Paris, but there are a lot of high-rise developments there. And over the past 30 years, they've become home to many North African and Muslim immigrants to Paris, where the situation, their economic situation, is considerably worse than other French people.
Yes, and it's not as if nobody knows this, it's just people don't pay very much attention to it. The average jobless rate in these sensitive urban zones, as they're known in officialese, the average jobless rate is twice the national rate. Amongst people between 20 and 30 years old, it's 3 times the national rate. Income is half the national average income. Housing is, you just have to look at it to know how much worse than standard housing it is. These are problems that have been accumulating over years. The government, one government after another, has thrown a certain amount of money at this problem and set up an educational study for another problem. But nothing that they've done has seemed to really solve the problems.
After a week of riots, the government has come under criticism from a number of different vantage points.
Yes, well, not least from within itself, the ministers are bickering over how to treat this. So far, the Interior Minister, Nicolas Sarkozy, has had the upper hand, and his approach has been to send in more riot police, call the young people who live in the ghettos scum, and to say he will wage a war without mercy on them. Now, that doesn't appear to have calmed the flames any, unsurprisingly. The Prime Minister, Dominique de Villepin, has now taken over. They're promising dialogue. Jacques Chirac, the president, has called for dialogue. And eventually, I'm sure this violence will die down. But what this government or any other can do to attack the root problem problems of discrimination against the young people who live in these ghettos, it's harder to say.
Those two gentlemen you mentioned, Mr. de Villepin and Mr. Sarkozy, widely regarded as two leading candidates to be the next president of France.
They are indeed. One of the more striking aspects of the last week's crisis is the way that most of the press, most of the political classes, have concentrated on how de Villepin and Sarkozy are using this crisis as a pawn in their intestine battle within the cabinet for advantage in the presidential race, even though the presidential elections aren't until 2007, rather than actually addressing the issues that the people who are rising would like addressed.
In the meantime, outside of the ruling party, there are attacks from the left. You have ignored the plight of these people for 30 years. We must do something now. And from the right, you have allowed these people to come in and immigrate without any controls over the past 30 years, and they've got to be sent home.
Well, exactly. There were two far-right politicians were in one of the troubled areas this morning talking about the dangers that that uncontrolled immigration poses and the crime wave. And they were clearly angling for votes from disaffected and upset or white residents of the neighborhoods where this violence is taking place. And I'm sure that at the next elections, the extreme right will be playing film of these riots to gain electoral advantage. The left, as you say, hasn't got a lot to crow about, and it hasn't got much to say because they've been in power for many of the last 30 years and they didn't do much either. The other people, of course, who may well be well positioned to take advantage of this sort of crisis, and that's what people in the suburbs who I was talking to yesterday were saying, are radical Islamic extremists who, when young people are upset at being called scum by the interior minister, say, well, you know, what can you expect from the government? What do you expect from the West? Come to us. And I know that there are social workers concerned that they cannot do enough to satisfy the needs of the people, and that there are extremist Islamic groups that are prepared to step in and fill that gap.
Getting back to the nature of riots in this country, in France, of course, as well, after 1968, people sobered by these events stepped back and took stock afterwards. Do you expect that to happen this time around?
Yes, I think it will have to, because there hasn't been an outbreak of violence as sustained as this or as widespread as this for many, many years in France. I think you probably have to go back 20 years. So I'm sure a stock will be taken. Whether or not any root solutions will be found, or whether in a few months people will find other things to worry about, I don't know. I'm certain that the young men and women in the suburbs who are trying to attract the politicians' attention are only too fearful that they'll be forgotten in a few months.
Peter Ford, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Peter Ford, Chief European Correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, and he joined us from his office in Paris.